They must have been singing Kumbaya, right? Around the mid-1940s, before the consolidation between the Unitarians and the Universalists, the Universalists were contemplating their future. Their membership application to the National Council of Churches had been rejected. Some say it was because they just weren't Christian enough. Some say it was because they had been preaching too much of the social gospel, getting too wrapped up in partisan politics. Well, whatever the reason, many Universalists saw this rejection as an opportunity to look to a future that lay beyond Christianity. Brainerd Gibsons, then president of the Universalist Churches of America, in 1951 preached a pivotal sermon in which he rejected Universalism as a branch of Christianity. One of the proponents of that movement was Kenneth Patton, leader of the Charles Street Meeting House. "A new type of universalism is proclaimed," he said, "which shifts the emphasis from universal salvation to universal religion. It describes universalism as boundless in scope, as broad as humanity, and as infinite as the universe. A religion not exclusively Christian or any other brand name, but a synthesis of all religious knowledge." A lot of people were preaching the gospel of religious pluralism at that time. Houston Smith was one of those preachers. Does anybody know Houston Smith? Almost every seminarian, like these two, have his book, World Religion, on their shelves. It's a requirement. And I learned about religion, world religions, through his books. And it's from Smith that I got that image of one mountain where each of the world's religions was a different path going up its slopes. And in my mind, God was at the top. God was at the summit, just like in today's story. It is impossible to climb life's mountain from any side. It is possible to climb any mountain from whatever side you choose. But when the top is reached, all the trails converge. Even George W. Bush embraced this idea. In 2003, he had a television interview with Charlie Gibson, who asked the president, "Do we all worship the same God, Christians and Muslims?" And Bush answered, "Yes, I think so. We have different routes to the Almighty." The president's response sparked some controversy within the Christian evangelical circles, and some people even dared to call him a universalist. You know, there's something really lovely about that image that Margaret laid out in the story, this image of all these people striving for the same God, the same good. There's something comforting in the thought that all religions are basically the same and that we're all united in this single spiritual quest. And all religions do have some version of the golden rule. And so in this way, they share a similar ethic. They also share a common view of the unity of all things, the idea that everything is more connected than they really seem. And they all acknowledge mystery, the idea that the more we understand, the more we do not understand. However, as tempting as it is to latch on to this idea of religious unity, it is actually possible to seek too much harmony. In striving for peace, we can be tempted to water down the bitter, difficult parts of each religion so they don't offend anyone. And too much emphasis on pluralism fails to capture the realities of the religion as it is expressed in the daily lives of its believers. When Ted Haggard, who was then the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, heard that President Bush had said that we were basically worshiping the same God, he said, "The Christian God encourages freedom, love, forgiveness, prosperity, and health. The Muslim God appears to value just the opposite. Thomas Jefferson once said that it does no injury for my neighbor to say that there is one God or many gods. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg. But you know what? It does injure. It does injure when people insist that my God is better than your God, that my religion is the right one. And it does matter when people use religious values to push public policy that deny freedom and deny rights. The Dalai Lama once pointed out that the line between exclusivism and fundamentalism is a dangerously narrow one, and the line between fundamentalism and extremism is even narrower. Religious differences do matter. Religious differences do matter. Sometimes we get so caught up in our desire for peaceful coexistence that we strive for mere tolerance. Like, that's good enough. Tolerance can be an admirable value. But tolerance is the lowest form of human cooperation. It doesn't insist on real engagement or real learning. And it perpetuates a certain level of ignorance where we don't ask too many questions and we don't reveal too much either. Tolerance is a good place to begin. We need to be able to tolerate each other, right? But it's certainly not a place to stay if we're serious about deepening our connections with one another. When we put all of the religions on one mountain, we lose the particular perspectives of the people who live out their faiths every day. In his book, God is Not One, author Stephen Prothero calls that single mountain image a seductive sentiment. He argues that the purpose of that single mountain proclaiming that all religions are basically the same was to stop all this religious fighting and religious war. But the idea of religious tolerance has not made the world a safer place. In fact, Prothero writes, this naive theological groupthink has made the world even more dangerous by blinding us to the clashes of religions that threaten us worldwide. You know, for a long time, I think people thought that the modern scientific and technological era would reduce the influence of religion in our lives, that we would kind of outgrow religion. But in the past several decades, just the opposite has happened. As one sociologist puts it, the world is as ferociously religious as it ever was, and in some places, even more. Today, it is very important to have a certain level of religious literacy. And in some cases, this knowledge is vital. Because it matters, for example, that a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan understands the difference between the Shia Islam of Iran and the Sunni Islam of the Taliban. It matters for international policy makers to understand how Confucianism is shaping Chinese society. And so instead of trying to put all these world religions on a single mountain, Prothero suggests many mountains, a whole bunch of different mountains of different sizes and shapes, each religion having its own summit, but that summit is not God. That summit is not God, but rather that summit is the solution to a particular human problem at the heart of each religion. For example, the problem in Islam is human pride, thinking that we are completely self-sufficient. The solution, or the summit, the thing that we're striving for then, is surrender, submission. And the practice, or the way that you climb, is by performing the religious rites, the five pillars of Islam. In Christianity, the problem is sin. The solution is salvation through Jesus Christ, and then the practice is a combination of faith and good works. In Buddhism, the problem is suffering. The solution is enlightenment. That's the summit. That's the peak that Buddhists are trying to get to. And the technique is the Eightfold Path. So you get the idea that each mountain has a different summit. What about the Yuyu Mountain? What does that look like? At first I thought, oh, it's like a little hill, you know? Because we're new. We're, you know, Unitarian Universalism is only 50 years old, and so it's kind of a new little bump. But then I started thinking, you know, it's hard work being a Unitarian Universalist because nobody will give you one formula, one answer on how to do all of this. And so maybe the Yuyu Mountain is kind of steep and rocky and difficult to climb. What is the problem, the human problem that the Yuyus, the Yuyu faith, is trying to solve? It's disconnection. I think it's disconnection. And the solution is the interconnected web of all beings. That's what we're striving for, is to realize our inherent connection to each other. And the practice is community. Practice as beloved community. Because we value interconnection, UUs are naturally drawn to interfaith work. We want to visit all the other different mountains. We want to meet all of those different climbers everywhere. There are two parts to interfaith work. There's the work of learning. This is the work of ignorance abatement, fighting bigotry with knowledge, and it is the work that the Middles have been doing all year. We need a lot more of this kind of interfaith work. I heard about a state senator from South Carolina who could have used this kind of knowledge. He's the one that called Governor Nikki Haley a raghead because she's Indian American and grew up Sikh. And then he proceeded to call our president that same insulting name, revealing his complete ignorance of the difference between Hindu, Sikh, and Muslim. The second part of interfaith work is to resist putting ourselves at the center, as if our mountain was in the middle of the land and then all the other mountains were spread out around us. Last month, I was invited to speak to a small group at the big downtown Methodist church. This adult religious education group was doing their version of Our Neighboring Faiths. They were using a book called Christianity and the World's Religions. So instead of allowing each religion to stand on its own, they were measuring against and comparing it with Christianity. You know, the people in that group are really lovely and they have the best of intentions and they want to increase this sense of peaceful coexistence with their neighbors. And I applaud them for that intention. But they are doing this work from a position of exclusivism, the position that they possess the one true faith. When UUs do interfaith work, we also have to be careful not to put our faith above others, because we are also prone to this kind of exclusivism, kind of exceptionalism. Interfaith work is the work of multiculturalism, because it's not solely about interacting on a religious basis. It's about interacting with people. Religion is a human invention, isn't it? God didn't invent religions. And so we connect with people in the fullness of their life story. Once in a while, there's this debate that flares up over whether to include humanists and atheists into interfaith work. And I say, yes, Absolutely. Because interfaith work is not so much about God as it is about people and the big important questions that we all face together. More than tolerance, we need interfaith experiences that lead to a deep understanding of the complexities of being human and all the stories that help make sense of this really complicated, chaotic world. For a long time, I supported that notion that interfaith dialogue should be based on the premise that all religions are basically the same, you know, that we all strive for the same thing. And now I see that this approach tends to gloss over the particulars and water down the differences. It obscures the fact that religions rise up in a particular society at a particular time in history, that there are always social and cultural and economic and political forces that shape the way that people express a certain religion. The Zen Buddhism practiced in Japan in 1920 is not the same thing as the Zen Buddhism practiced in San Francisco in 1980, which is not the same thing as the Zen Buddhism practiced in Western Massachusetts in 2012. And so we can't have honorable interfaith encounters without seeing the full person and engaging with the entirety of their humanity. And this takes a lot more time and a lot more effort. It means that we have to get up and move, just like the Middles have moved. Interfaith means between faiths, in between. And this requires each party to move out of their comfortable centers and move to their edges, their outer edges. In doing this kind of work, we are called to the frontier lands, to those expanding edges. And yes, it can be stressful, it can be uncomfortable to go to new places and meet really different people. There will be arguments, and we will be perplexed sometimes. But this is where we will grow. May it be so. Amen.